We have the calls of three individuals spanned by, a thousand years almost, and calling us in a similar way. That to look at this, Samuel was, his parents could not have children, and the mother pleaded with God, "If you were to give me a child, I will dedicate this child to the Lord." So when Samuel was born, she very dutifully brought him over to the Shiloh, which was the place where the ark was kept at that time, and there was a priest there guarding it. The temple hadn't been built yet, and it was kind of like going to boarding school. So she dropped him off to stay there for 9 months or so, and he lived with Eli, who was not the best priest, if you look at the whole story, but God worked through him anyway. So Samuel doesn't know a thing about the Lord, of course, and you get this dialogue that the Lord sets up with Samuel. Notice that Samuel's sleeping. That's significant. He's not listening to God. He doesn't know God. He's sleeping. It's like so much of the world is oblivious to the illusions that they follow that come to an end. They're temporal. They end in time when it ends. But the eternal speaks to Samuel and breaks through that silence. And it says something like, "Psst, hey, Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel wakes up and says, "Who is it?" No, that wasn't what he says. He says, "Here I am." And then he goes over to Eli and he says, "You called me." And you can hear Eli say, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed. You know, I wouldn't be very happy about this." And then the same thing happens a second time. And Samuel does not have a clue. He's clueless. But God is passing by. Samuel has to learn. How's he going to learn about God? He goes to Eli, his teacher. And Eli sends him back again and probably puts his earplugs in, you know, takes a sleeping pill. And the third time, Samuel probably is thinking, "What is going on here?" But he goes back to Eli, probably with some trepidation, waking him up a third time. Eli is older and wiser, and he knows now it must be God. And so then he says the wonderful line that we all can say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And this Samuel had to learn. He had to go to somebody else. He had to be taught through experiences. God came again and again, hoping someone would get the message. People often say, "Can I bring my children back to the faith?" or somebody like that. God will pass by them periodically, but they have to notice. We have free will. What we're really praying for is that our loved one will notice God when he passes by. And God is subtle, although not always. I got hit over the head a number of times when God tried to get me in the seminary, and I did not want to go. But usually he's quite subtle. And I'll tell you a little story. I think God speaks to each of us in his own way, and he tends to continue in a way when he opens it up. Once Samuel hears God audibly, God continues to speak that way. With us, each one is a little bit different. The normative way we hear God is through the scriptures, the church, our conscience, and then life experiences. And God has a unique way of getting through to each person. We're all unique. We have a slightly different radio, or I should say internet channel. Bring me up to speed here. When I was discerning the priesthood, I have 1,000 of these stories, but I won't bore you with all of them. And some people here remember the date that I told them, so I can't repeat them. I need a new audience. But anyway, I didn't get any booze there, so maybe I do need to go. But anyway, there was this one time that I had, you know, all these signs and things. I went up to Mount Angel, and my company was transferring me to Tucson, Arizona. It would have been a paid move. It was a great job. But they were also offering a 10-year layoff, so I was really praying about whether to do this, and I was 35 years old, and I thought, it's now or never, you know. So I came up to Mount Angel and interviewed by Father Pascal up here, happy memory. And on the wall is a picture of Tucson, Arizona. There's the two choices, right? One on the wall and one off the wall. Listen, I got the message. That's subtle, isn't it? I didn't say, "Wow, that's interesting." I said, "It's the Lord again." I told him what I didn't appreciate that. See, it's subtle. But as we hear God, he gets quieter and quieter because we're supposed to learn discernment. It'd be very easy if we all could see the angel Gabriel like the Virgin Mary had. But usually it's quiet, and it gets quieter and quieter, like Samuel. He's got to learn. So anyway, I went to Tucson. In spite of all these signs, they gave us a familiarization travel there and stuff, and had some money, and so from them, and I rented an apartment in Tucson. This was the year I entered the seminary. But anyway, I was going to go there, and the Lord's probably rolling his eyes. What else can we do here? So after doing that, I went to this Holiday Inn, which is not there anymore. 13th floor, airline employees, if you've ever been one, we have these 50% off deals. So I got this penthouse, 50% off all windows. Man, so I turned all the lights out and opened the drapes. I thought I'd sit there and look at the view at night. I didn't know what it was. Three-sided all windows, floor to ceiling, much like the top of the church. View of the cathedral. Right outside my window. Well, I sat there till 3 o'clock in the morning looking at it and realized the jig was up. It was now or never. And I say that, and then I 3 days later, I terminated, and the rest is history. I often go back to that spot and realize how much different life would have been if I hadn't caught the message. Christ passed by again and again, but there comes a time when he passes by no more. So we have to listen, and he wants us to listen, but it has to be our free will. He wants to teach us to listen. Subtly, while we're on earth. That's what we're here for, to not see and believe, to listen, to learn on your own frequency what God is saying. We all have a passion for something. God, what is your passion? Mine was, I was a sacristan, and I thought, maybe I can do this for a living, you know, that kind of a thing. In the gospel today, we learn that Peter and Andrew are disciples of John the Baptist. And to hear the call at Capernaum, you'd think that they'd never heard him before. No, they had been down to Capernaum, and some of us were in Israel this fall, and a couple of you here today, and one was here last night, and it's kind of hilly, you know. The Jordan River is not an easy thing to follow in places. In fact, it's barren. I wonder why people fought over it so much over the years. But anyway, they came down there. John only ministered about a year, so they had to be in tune, and Andrew just happens to be standing amongst the crowd when Jesus walks by. Andrew doesn't recognize Jesus, but John does. And John sees the dove over his head. We don't know if Andrew saw that, but we do know we heard John say, "Behold the Lamb of God." And he goes and gets his brother immediately, who gets top billing from then on, which, you know, would bug me a little bit. Hey, I was first, Peter. You know, why are you getting picked? That's the way God is. And you notice at Mass we say this, the host doesn't look like Jesus, and neither did Jesus in person. Somebody had to point him out. Our faith came from somebody else. It was handed down to us. And I might add, everything in Mass is scriptural. The entire Eucharistic prayer, verse by verse, especially all of them, are taken from Scripture. Everything I say, the Lord be with you, for example, is a Pauline greeting in his letters. So Andrew then, and John is very rich with meaning. He goes and gets Peter. He immediately evangelizes, you know. He goes and tells somebody about this great thing. And Peter comes, he's also a disciple of John the Baptist, isn't he? And Jesus, they go and hot-footed after Jesus. Well, a lot of people heard John say that. Not everybody took the effort to go seeking. I'm going to use Eucharistic Prayer 4 today, and it uses twice that those who seek might find him. If I'm not seeking, I may not find him. What are you seeking? Are we seeking an 80-inch Ultra HD TV? It's not going to satisfy you. It's temporal. It ends. Christ is eternal. We want something eternal. We're headed somewhere. You know, all those things are fine, but they're not going to save us. So they're seekers. And Christ turns around and says, "What are you seeking?" He's turning to everyone in the room and saying, "What are you seeking?" It's right out of John's gospel. And they say, "Where do you live?" Now, they're not talking about the Holiday Inn I was talking about earlier. What they mean is, "We want to come in with you. We want to learn about you. Let's sit down. we want to make our home with you. This is what's implied here. And Jesus says, well, come with me and you'll find out. And they spend the day with Jesus. Who wouldn't want to do that? So they go back to Capernaum, back to their fishing business. They no doubt told James and John. We know that John knew the high priest. Now you can see these are not just simple fishermen anymore. And they fish at night. If any of you have seen this, out in Tillamook, where I used to be, they do this. I don't know if they're crabbing or what they're doing, but you can see them holding a lamp out at night fishing. And this is what the disciples did. They'd hold a lamp over the water, and the fish would come to it if they were fortunate, and they'd get them. So they're out there all night long, and they have a chance to think and pray out there in that silence with the stars overhead. And they thought about what Christ had told them. Then, wouldn't you know it, here comes Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee while they're fishing. And they'd caught nothing that night. If you know the story, it looks like a coincidence. Jesus just happens to be walking by and calls the first guy he sees. Jesus has it all planned out. He knows what he's doing. He remembers them. He wants Peter. But he makes it look like a coincidence because Peter and Andrew have got to say yes on their own. He makes it as if he were just passing by again, and he calls out to them. They recognize him, and they leave everything. But they were prepared. Not all the disciples had that, but these two did, and John and James, no doubt, had heard this also. So God has many ways of speaking to us. He will often, every day, he speaks to us. He tends to speak to me through coincidences, and I found that all my life, so-called coincidences. I've told all of you this. When we put up the church, I was quite worried about it. I told the Lord I didn't want to do it, so of course I'm a perfect candidate for doing this. But I remember coming, like I said, I came out of the parking lot, and that day they started bulldozing the parking lot. There was a rainbow. I just looked at it last week. Not a usual rainbow, but a low arch, just like these, from that field to River Road. And I saw that for a minute, and the Lord said, this is my project. What are you worrying so much about? It's my church, not yours. It was very clear. I knew then it was going to be okay. And I invite you to start looking, because the more you see, the more you're going to find. We're all writing a gospel, and Jesus is going to hand it to us. We hand it to him, and he's going to hand it back, corrected. And we're going to see all the ways that Jesus passed by and we didn't know it, all the setups that he created just for us that we, most of which, were completely blind to, like Samuel. Over and over he passed by until we caught a glimpse of him and said, here I am, Lord, what do you want me to do? So this is a wonderful gospel. It's beginning of still at the church year to listen to God. And with Samuel, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, we say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Amen.